Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. Last week we thought about Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to continue with that theme of looking at the coming of the Holy Spirit. So last week we reminded ourselves that the Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit that dwells within us today. And so it is that same power of God at work in us as was at work in the disciples. But what does this mean for us? Well, let's read from the continuing the story of Pentecost. So last week we looked at the coming of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit enabling the disciple to speak in tongues, which amazed most of the crowd, except some of them commented that these men were drunk. So this is what happens immediately after that comment. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, as I was saying, the Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost and did all these miraculous things is the same Holy Spirit that is with us now. But what does that mean? This week we'll consider how the Holy Spirit gives us direction, visions and dreams and prophecies, so that we can proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God. When we allow the Holy Spirit to not just live passively within us, but play an active role in our lives, when we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, he gives us direction. He shows us where he wants us to go, what he wants us to do, and what he wants us to say. Are we listening? Do we have our ears tuned to what the Holy Spirit says to us? Do we have our eyes fixed on what he shows us? Or do we allow other things to grab our attention? How might God be trying to communicate with you through the Holy Spirit? It can often feel like the Holy Spirit isn't working in the same way that he did in the Bible. We look at these stories and we think, why aren't we seeing this happening in our world today? But perhaps the questions we should be asking are, do we truly seek the Holy Spirit? Do we long to see the power of God at work as it was in the New Testament? If the Holy Spirit did move in power in our communities, it would massively upset the status quo and shake us up. The church has become too comfortable, too set in our ways. For a long time, the church in the West has held a place of privilege and prominence, and so we have become settled and comfortable. We have stopped being the radical voice that calls out against injustice, whether locally or nationally. We have stopped demonstrating radical hospitality that offers welcome to all. And so we need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit to revive us. We need the Holy Spirit to come and re-envision us. A preacher called D.M. Panton spoke about the Holy Spirit coming as the inrush of the Spirit into a body that threatens to become a corpse. The church, the body of Christ, in some places, is threatening to become a corpse. So let us call for an inrush of the Holy Spirit to revive us. Let us earnestly seek for God to come and shake us from our comfortable places and call us out into the work for the kingdom of God. Now, perhaps you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, Alex, it's all right for you. You're young, full of energy, got your whole life ahead of you to give to God. But I've given my time. I've dreamed the dreams and seen the visions. It's now time for me to rest. Or perhaps you're thinking, I've not got any extra time to give to dream dreams. My life is busy enough without adding extra. But Peter talked about the Spirit being poured out on all people, young and old, male and female, regardless of our circumstances. We just need to be willing to accept him. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. No matter your age, your circumstances, your background, or anything else, God still calls on you to dream dreams, to have visions. We are all called to prophesy, to speak out God's words of truth. To be a prophet is to be one who speaks for God, someone who is God's spokesperson. So if we speak out for God, we are all prophets. The prophets of the Old Testament had the Holy Spirit come on them for a period of time and a specific purpose to give them an insight into the mind of God. But we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us constantly, so we can rely on him to give us an insight into the mind of God. We can call on him to give us direction and vision for this time and this place. Are we willing to be the prophets of God? Are we willing to seek the vision of God and speak it out to those who need to hear it? When the Bible calls people to prophesy, it isn't so people can revel in having special knowledge of God, but it is so the message of God can be delivered, can be heard, and can be acted upon. We are called to be the prophets of God, so let us choose to seek vision, direction, dreams, and promises from the Holy Spirit. So what can we do to seek God's vision? How can we actively make space in our lives for the Holy Spirit to speak to us? Well, I think one of the first things we need to think about is it's important to make that space, to give that time. When our lives become so busy that we never have time to pause to hear from God, then it's hardly surprising if we find ourselves lacking direction and vision from him. We need to extract ourselves from the noise if we want to tune our ears to hear from God. An obvious illustration of this is if I'm in a noisy place with lots of people talking, perhaps there's some music playing, etc., and it's really quite busy and noisy. Then my phone rings, so I pick it up to talk to the other person. But it's so loud in the room that I can't hear what they're saying. They're able to hear me, but it's too loud for me to hear them. So of course, in such situations, I go out of the room and find somewhere quiet so I can hear what the other person is saying. And this is exactly what we need to do to hear from God. In Matthew 6, when Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray, he says to them, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Now, when Jesus was talking about this, he was mainly speaking against those who prayed so that everyone could see how holy they were. But Jesus was also teaching the disciples an important lesson about the need to give God time to speak to you in the quiet of your room, with no other voices trying to drown out God's word. Jesus warns us, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by others." Both these places would have been noisy, busy places, which would have made it difficult to hear God's response to prayers. So when we if we want the Holy Spirit to work, to move in power, we need to make space for him. Secondly, we also need to support each other. We are told when the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place. The disciples gathered together as they waited for the gift that Jesus promised them was coming. Now, when Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem, he said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." And there was nothing in that command that said they needed to stay together. They could have all lived in separate places scattered around Jerusalem, but instead they gathered together. This is because they knew that they were stronger together. They could support, encourage, strengthen one another if they were together. Whereas if they were alone, they may have lost the faith. They had waited 10 days before the Holy Spirit day came. 10 days feels like a very long time when you're waiting for something important and special. In those 10 days, I imagine that they all experienced moments of doubt and questioning. Is anything really going to happen? When will this gift come? Are we going to have to wait forever? What are we going to do if nothing happens? By staying together, whenever one of them experienced a moment of doubt, the others could give words of encouragement, reminding them of the promises of Jesus. And this is true for us too. We need to support one another as we focus on God and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. So to give you a very current example of this, when I was in the cafe this week for Chatty Cafe, I found myself doodling my prayer thoughts while I was sitting there. And a man came up and saw what I was doing and asked if he could sit down and chat with me. Which of course is, I said yes, because that is why I am there in the first place. But he spent about an hour speaking with me and giving me encouragement. One of the things he was telling me is something I'd like to share with you. He said, "Often the Holy Spirit speaks through just a small thought that pops into your head. This thought will often sound kind of big and scary, but will also carry a sense of excitement. But then we often squash that voice by saying, 'That's just crazy,' or 'I can't do that,' or 'That isn't God speaking, but just my own thoughts.' So our own self-doubt squash that thought from the Holy Spirit. Satan tries to use his weapons of self-doubt to make us ignore the call of God. But we need to choose to listen when we have those moments of self-doubt. We need to choose whether we listen to the doubt, to Satan, or if we listen to God. When you hear that small voice from the Holy Spirit, as he drops a thought in your head, will you listen? Will you obey?" So that's one of the things that this man said to me, which was a massive encouragement to me, and hopefully an encouragement to you too. And this is why it is important to gather together and support one another, because we are able to share words of truth, share visions of God with each other, and build each other up. In Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, we are told, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So we need to make space for the Holy Spirit. We need to support one another, but we also need to back one another up. Now, what I mean by this is actually being with each other in mission or in whatever God is calling us to do. When the Holy Spirit empowered Peter to stand in front of the crowd and speak to them, the other disciples were there with him, giving him the support and backing. He was not having to do it on his own. And this is really important, because often we get scared of what the Spirit calls us to, because we think we have to do it all on our own. And we worry that even with the Spirit enabling us, it will be too much for us on our own. But God calls us to work together in teams. In Luke 10, Jesus sent out 72 people to go out into the towns and places around to speak the good news of the kingdom. But he didn't send them out on their own. He sent them out in pairs, because he knows that we need one another, not just for support and encouragement, but to back one another up in actually following the call. So when we have dreams and visions, when we sense God leading in a particular direction, we need to share that with one another. Then as a community, we can test to see if it comes from God. As John reminds us in 1 John, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And then once it has been established that God has given a dream, vision, or direction, then we can all move together as one to follow the call that God gives us. We might not all have an active role to play, because God calls us to different roles and giftings, but we can all be support and backup. The disciples didn't say anything to add to Peter's address to the crowd. Peter was the one the Holy Spirit enabled to talk to the crowd. The disciples were there, at Peter's back, showing they were united by the Holy Spirit and called to his purposes. And then once Peter had finished talking and the crowd were ready to respond, all the disciples were there ready to help baptize and welcome the new believers into the family. So what dreams and visions has God been showing you? What sense of God's call have you felt? Let's share these things with one another and walk together to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.